Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you for this afternoon.
Hallelujah.
We want to thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the hour in which we're living in.
Yes.
Father, it does seem difficult, sometimes hopeless, and awfully sometimes frustrating, but nevertheless, we know that at the end of time, at the time of midnight, the cry that went forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Father, we want to be ready for that cry. Want to be in that place. Want to be under that covering. Want to be in that place of protection. Also in that place of being able to hear, Father, and to move in accordance to the Word of God that comes to us individually as well as collectively. So, Father, we just commit ourselves unto you this afternoon. We ask for your words. We ask for your spirit. We ask for your unction and anointing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And there is a verse there that I want to read. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Praise the Lord.
Yes.
You can put a marker there if you want. I don't know if I will get back there. But I want to turn back over into 2 Chronicles. Was it? I want to turn back over into 2 Chronicles chapter 5 that Mark was reading to us out of this morning. And there is something there that caught my attention. And I would just like us to look at it for a moment. You know, in the story of the tabernacle, in the tabernacle of Moses, there were within the Ark of the Covenant, there were three pieces or three articles that had been placed within that vessel. One of them was the table of stones. The other of them was the pot of manna. And the other one was the Aaron's rod that budded. Hallelujah. Jesus defined the manna. He said, "I was the bread that came down out of heaven." It wasn't the natural bread, but it was indicative of that spiritual bread. He also told the congregation of people, "You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." Out of which his forces were diminished considerably. I think everybody left him, except for his 12 disciples. The 12 disciples, not that they were smarter than anybody else, but evidently there was a reality that there was really no place else to go. Because what they heard from this man was something of a truth that they had never heard before. Something of a truth that struck some resonant chord within their being. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I suppose you can liken it a lot unto the word that we have heard. Hallelujah. You know, the word that we have heard is not dependent upon a man. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
The word of God that we have heard, though it was delivered by a man, it was delivered in and by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And those of us who heard it, there was something in our soul that was quickened. And that quickening has lasted for many, many years. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord told me at the beginning of this year that this year would be a year of great shaking. And I think a lot of us have seen that shaking both in the natural arena, not to mention just the earth moving, in the realm of politics, in the realm of economics, not just in the United States, but around the world. Things are being shook up. Kingdoms are falling in some instances. Hallelujah. Somebody told me that you all just experienced an earthquake here in Schuyler, Nebraska. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think it's very apropos, quite frankly. I really don't. It says that when God speaks, the earth shakes. Now, do you think that's metaphorically? Or do you believe in the actuality of God speaking and earth shaking? Well, I believe when God speaks, the earth actually can shake. Praise the Lord. Maybe you don't believe that, but I believe it. Hallelujah. And so, apropos, I think, that at the time of conference, it was what? A couple of days ago? A week ago? When was it? Just recently, right?
Last week.
And you know the thing that I really thought was peculiar? They say it was 3.3.
Hallelujah.
And it was about 7 miles down.
No,
7 miles south. 7 miles south. But I thought there was 7 miles subterranean.
3 miles.
3 miles. 7 miles south and 3 miles down. Hallelujah. All of them are divine numbers, you know. Hallelujah. And I believe that there is something that the Lord is saying. And you know, I stood up here at this congregation last year and said there will be many here that were there then that would not be here this year. I said many.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Because I believe that there is a shaking going on. And what is being shook are the foundations of the earth. Not only our earth, it says, not only will I shake the foundations of the earth, but I'm going to shake what? Heavens. How is your heaven going to be shook? It's going to be shook on the basis of what you believe. As far as God is concerned. The reality of what you believe God is. Hello? Are you there? Knock, knock.
Amen.
Huh? Praise the Lord. You're not going to fall asleep on me, right?
No.
Praise the Lord. So there is a position, there's a place, and there is a time frame that I believe that we as a church are coming into. One of the things that traveling back and forth across the world has firmly convinced me is that we're living in a terribly wonderful good time. Did you hear me? Terribly wonderful. Huh? Hallelujah. Because I believe that the kingdoms of the Antichrist are marshaling their forces. They're doing things behind the scenes that we have no comprehension of, and yet it affects us in the money that we have, in the things that we buy, and the things that we can do, or the things that we can't do. And now they're wanting to strip all of us that are traveling. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but I know what it makes me feel. Hallelujah. It's something that I'm very sensitive about. Hello? I don't care if the guy's hid behind a screen and can't see me. Hallelujah. Or that I want my granddaughters or my wife going through these screeners, and yet they say, if you don't like it, find some other way to travel. Tell me, Brother Chima, how am I going to get to Africa? How am I going to get there? How am I going to get to Europe? How am I going to get to the Philippines? Find some other... What do they want me to do? Get a boat and paddle? Huh? Hallelujah. Huh? And you know something? The church has authority. Do you hear me? The church has authority. I remember coming back from a trip one day, and I was in Amsterdam, and they had one of those strip machines. Oh, yes. It was there. And I was second from the machine. They had no alternative machine. Huh? Everybody was being marshaled through this machine. I said, Lord, I don't want to go through that machine. I said, Lord, I do not want to go through that machine. It broke. It broke. There are two people in front of me. It broke. Hallelujah. And there was a big confusion and whatnot, and so they had to do some other alternative procedure. But in all of it, there was a delaying of the flight. You know, if you're in Amsterdam and you got a flight to catch in New York or Atlanta, you don't want any delay. But you know what? I didn't care about the delay. Hallelujah. Because I had the ability in God to do something about my situation. But, you know, we as a church need to rise up in our authority concerning the issue of what the governments are doing concerning that which violates us. Hello? Hallelujah. You can't see the thing on the screen. You just get in front of the thing and let the thing do what it wants to do, or let them do what they want to do if you don't go through the screen. But we have an authority and we need to use it. Hallelujah. But we have been delivered a word. Now, when brother was reading out of Chronicles, and when I read this particular verse, you know how it is, your eyes just kind of gets like, you want to read down, but it keeps going up, want to read down, and it keeps going up. Praise the Lord. And it says, and they were bringing the ark in to the place, and the verse 10, it said, there was nothing in the ark, save two tables which Moses had put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I thought that was interesting. Maybe you don't find that too significant, but I found it very, very interesting. What happened to the rod? What happened to the golden pot of manna? Huh? Hallelujah. It's there for a reason. And the Bible goes to explicit trouble to tell you that there was nothing else in the ark save the two tables of stone. Well, what I believe the Lord is speaking is in that there is a dispensation or a position or a place of authority that we are in the verge of coming into. Hallelujah. It says of Jesus Christ, what does it say? It says that the Word was made flesh, right? Yes. And it what? Dwelt among us. And so there is a position or a place of this Word that we are believing in the aspect of the infilling of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're supposed to be believing?
Yeah.
Or maybe I got confused someplace. Did I get confused? Aren't we believing in the infilling of the wholeness or the fullness of God coming into our soul? Am I the only one to believe that? Come on, brethren, help me out here. Who of you here believes in the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hands. Praise the Lord. And those of you who don't raise your hands, we can pray for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's either a figment of our imagination, or there is really something significant about what this scripture is talking about. Because it's not talking about Solomon's temple. It's talking about that third and final temple that is to be built in the last day. Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Kind of a spirit of lethargy. Maybe it's not lethargy, maybe it's just deadness. Huh? Hallelujah. Maybe we need a little bit of resurrection life, right? You got the Holy Ghost, right? Praise the Lord. You got the Holy Ghost, son? If you don't got it, you better get it. Praise the Lord. It's resurrection life. It's something that gives us hope when things are hopeless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I go through an airport, I feel like a cow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel like a cow when you go through? You got these little pings going down this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. You walk here, walk there, walk that. Right? They're telling you what they're hurting you like cattle. Huh? Hallelujah. I went into an airport one time and I was going up to go through passport control, and there was seemingly nobody else in the airport, and yet they had this thing going like this. Huh? Well, maybe they were just thinking about my physical exercise and health. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But I think it was more or less them wanting to control the environment and the situation. And we are so controllable. So controllable. Hallelujah. When we should be in a position or a place of relationship with an almighty God. Hallelujah. You know, it's something, I don't have a TV, but I go on the internet to get my news and to listen, and it blows my mind what I hear on the TV. You know, the Lord told me this year, early on, this is the year to buy gold. That's what He told me. He said, this is the year to buy gold. Hallelujah. Now, of course, I want to spiritualize it because I think I don't have any money to buy any gold. Of course, you probably got lots of money to buy gold, right? Hallelujah. But the Lord said to me, first the natural, then the spirit. So I have to show my position of obedience to the Word of God. If God tells me to buy gold, and all I got is enough money to buy 1 ounce of gold, I have fulfilled the obligation of my obedience. Hello? Are you there? It has to start with something, somewhere. Hello? Or maybe we don't believe it. But I turn on my radio, and all these secular prophets are saying, this is the year to buy gold. Have you seen that on TV?
Yeah.
Huh? Have you heard it on the radio? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody said that all these millionaires who have bought up all of these gold certificates are now pressing the bank, right, to deliver up the gold. But I got news for you. They don't have the gold to cover all those certificates that they sold. So what do you think that's going to do to the price of gold? And you know that when the Lord spoke to me, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, in the beginning of the year, I think gold was somewhere between $300 and $500 an ounce. I think it was really at $300 an ounce. It's now at seven something.
No, it's twice that.
Huh? It's 14. It's $1,400. Well, at the beginning of the year, it was a whole lot less than what it is now. Huh? Is it twice? It was seven at the beginning of the year then. Hallelujah. That's quite an increase. You get that in the bank, right? They give you that kind of interest, right, in the bank? Right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you had 1 ounce of gold, you would have made $700. Hallelujah. That's pretty good return on your venture. But it's not only in the aspect of the natural, it is also in the realm of the spirit. Because gold is the nature of God. Now how is it that I buy gold in God? Well, Revelations, without really going into it, in the chapter, 2-3? Chapter 3 says, come, buy of me gold. Hello? And how do we buy gold from God? By giving Him that which is worthless. Hallelujah. Giving Him that which has no value. Giving Him that which would be considered by most trash. Hallelujah. Well, but that trash happens to be me. Now, I said me. I didn't say you. But, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. Hallelujah. Because the whole process of my salvation is not just getting my foot into the door called heaven. That's not the point. That's not the principle. That is not the word that has been delivered to us. The word that delivered to us is a word that says that I might present you blameless. Hello? Maybe you didn't hear the word that I heard. Did you hear that word?
Blameless.
Blameless. That I might present you blameless. How? Spirit? Oh, that's no problem, right? Just get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're blameless. Huh? So, well, you have a little more problem with that one, right? Not quite so blameless, but not so bad either, right? Body? Oh boy, there it just blows it right out the window. Hallelujah. My goodness. But it says that the word that Paul preached, the Apostle Paul, there was a word that says, I want to present you blameless. The word that I have shared with you, the word that I have given you, has the power to change you irrevocably. Boy, I got that one out. It has the power to change you. Not make it different in some form or fashion, dress it up. Most of us are interested in remodeling. You know, the word that brother was sharing, I have been listening to over and over and over again, and every time he shares it, and every time I hear it, there's something else in it that God speaks to me about the position, the place of choosing. Hello? Do you remember me saying that this was a year of decision? Huh? I went on turned on my radio the other day, and the announcer said, you know, we're making many decisions this year. Oh, really? Making many decisions. Wow. Hallelujah. The world out there seems to be more in tune with what is going on in the actuality of our world and the effect that is going to have on us than the church to whom God is giving the mysteries of the end time. Hello? It is not something that we can continue to do and to have or to handle and not do as it is designed to do, or to allow it to do what it is designed to accomplish. And what it is designed to accomplish is to change you, irrevocably change you, where you're not able to change back. Hallelujah. You know, there is a word that I heard many, 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 many years ago. Hallelujah. That is just as true today as it was then. And it says, come out of her, my people. Hello, come out of what? Come out of organized religion. Come out of religious practices. Come out of the religiosity of thinking religiously. Hallelujah. You know, we're not teaching or preaching religion. We are teaching and preaching and bringing you to a living reality of an entity that is called Christ. Hallelujah. And it says that Christ, if that Christ that was raised from the dead, right, dwell in you, what does it do? Quicken. Quicken means to bring life. And life is something that is designed to change you. No matter how small, no matter how minute that it be, it is. If you allow life to be planted, then out of that is going to come change. Hallelujah. So there's just the tables of stone that are there in that ark. And why is it just the two tables of stone? Well, the ark is the representation of you and me, the believer. Hallelujah. Let me jump a minute. I want to jump a minute. One of the things that you and I have to really be delivered of is our organizational skills. We think if man doesn't take care of it, it's not going to get taken care of. You know, brother was talking about Uzzah. You know, Uzzah was a type of a man or a woman who doesn't think that God is able to take care of God's business. That God is not able to take care of God's property. And you know, the man's intentions were good. They were, I'm sure he didn't have it in his heart to steal the ark. Huh? That could probably be better than some of us. Huh? If you really look at the motivation, huh? We would probably have the ark in a gunny sack running down the road and wanting to set it up in our garage or something. Hallelujah. Huh? And then tell everybody, look, you have to come over here because we got the ark. Huh? Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about not a physical thing. We're talking about a spiritual principle. Because you talk like a son of God and you act like a son of God, but if you have not the nature of the son of God in you, you aren't a son of God. You're a counterfeit. Huh? Did you hear me? You're a counterfeit. Hallelujah. And it's a spirit of deception. Hallelujah. That is trying to divert you in the end time from coming into a position of being able to grasp hold of the thing for which you were called and elected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I was in the Philippines. And we were ministering this word of God. And we were showing the difference between the example of God as the body and Him as the head and the pyramidal system. Is that right? Did I get that one right? Huh? Oh boy. I'm doing pretty good today, Gary. Praise the Lord. Huh? And there was a man. He was just sitting over there in the corner, Brother John. I told Brother John, I said, you know, you're going to be a man of renown because I'm going to preach about you everywhere I go. Hallelujah. And he is a pastor, and he was in the UPC church. He had 8 churches under him. Very successful man. Huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. And you know what? He can be an example for some of us.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I have never seen the word hit somebody like it was hitting him. I mean, I didn't sense any particular anointing. I didn't sense any strong spiritual vibes in the air, you know. But you could see the word hitting him. Sometimes he'd just be down with his head down between his knees, sitting there. Other times he would be sitting back and tears would be running down his eyes, running down his face. And other times he'd just look at me with that sad puppy dog look. And be saying to me, "What are you doing to me?" Huh? Hallelujah. I almost felt sorry for him. I said, almost. So after the meeting, he comes to me and he says, "Brother, you have created a huge and monstrous problem for me. Now I have to repent." I said, "Well," I said, I hope you make it. I hope you make it. So he went home. Now, went home is 3 hours away on his little moped. Huh? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. How many of you would come to this mountain 3 hours on a little moped that goes 35 miles an hour in the rain? Huh? How many of you would do it? Not very many of us, I'm afraid. Huh? Hallelujah. But 3 hours one way, 3 hours the next way. It's 6 hours. It takes him to get back to the meeting, and you go by car. It's only about an hour and 10 minutes, you know. So he's putting along. So he puts on home, and then he comes back, and he says, "Brother," he was smiling from ear to ear, and he says, "I want to tell you what I have done." He says, "I've gone home. I first called my organizational directors and told them that I was resigning." And I said, "Oh, really? What did they say?" "They said you're crazy." And he said to me, "Do you understand that in your resignation, you lose your pension?" Hello? "You lose your pension." Hallelujah. "You lose your wife's insurance." Hello? "You lose your wife's pension." That means no money. Hello? And he said, "You're crazy." And he said to them, "Crazy or not, that's what I am doing because I've decided to follow Jesus."
Amen.
Hello? He didn't stop there, brethren. He called his congregation together. And he began to explain to them what he was going to do. And he says, "You have a decision to make. You can either come with me and we will follow Jesus together, going after this kingdom message. Or you can stay with the church." Hallelujah. They said, "We want to go with you to follow Jesus." Hallelujah! I'm telling you, God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, on our sons and our daughters. You know, we had a conference in the Czech Republic. It was a tremendous conference. It was a tremendous time. Mighty God coming down. And it wasn't so effervescent and lively and pressed down, running over. God just came down in the midst of the congregation. People were delivered of spirits that they have been wrestling with for years. Years. And you know what? Flip-flop personality change. Hallelujah. We had probably 10 or 12 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the young people the age of my grandchildren, are being filled with the Spirit. The young ladies decided, the young ladies of the fellowship decided they needed to get together every 2 weeks on a Friday night. So they go over to the church and they have, can you guess, an all-night vigil? Huh? Praying in tongues and praying for each other and praying for the work of God and praying for you and me. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of support I want. That's the kind of support you and I need. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. We don't need platitudes or religious expressions. What we need is a walking, talking reality of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is building a body. Hallelujah. And you know something about my body? Huh? My heart doesn't stand up and say, I'm the heart and I'm the most important part of your body. And if you don't do something that I want you to do, I'm going to stop beating. That's like shooting yourself in the head. Hallelujah. It's suicide. And we are committing spiritual suicide. By wanting to be in a position or a place of preeminence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, I really don't know who's in charge of my body. Did you ever think about it? I really don't know. I know my brain is, by theory and what people tell me. It's telling me that it's doing everything that tells my body everything that's to do. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't stop and think about this part of that part of this part of that part or what this is supposed to do and what this... As long as it works, it's fine. Hello? Hello? Do you hear me? There's no exaltation of any particular part. And I got news for you. A bump on the head feels as bad and can hurt as much as a stubbed toe. Sometimes more stubbed toe. Hello? Does that make the toe more important than the head? Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes I'm more careful of different parts of my body when I'm doing particular things. If I'm working with a piece of machinery, hallelujah, that has an ability to drag me into it, I'm very careful about what I put near it. You understand? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's not giving preference or exalting some aspect of my body into a position of preeminence and lordship over the rest of my body. What if my hand decided all of a sudden that it wanted to be king? Huh? Hello? What would happen to my body? Huh? I think it's a disease, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't it a motor disease?
Yeah.
Isn't it some sort of nerve deficiency or something? Isn't it? Something's out of whack somewhere. You know, just because the body can do it doesn't mean that it's appropriate for the body to do it. Something is wrong with the body. Hallelujah. And it's, you know something? It's our job to fix it. Hello? I don't mean that you go over and take that body, the hand, and shove it down in your pocket and say, don't you come out of that pocket. No. You stay right there. Oh, no, no, can't come out. Huh? Hallelujah. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. It doesn't work that way. You know, in American history, or at least in Texas history, they say, remember the Alamo. Hallelujah. And anybody that's Texas and anybody that knows anything about American history knows what it means to say, remember the Alamo. That's a get up and go. Let's get in there and do our very best. And we can prove ourselves as good as them. I should say the motto of the body would be, remember Russia.
Yeah.
Stop and think about Russia. Huh? Hallelujah. Stop and think about him. And the problem is we think we're so good. Oh, you don't have this malady, I'm sure. It's probably something just inherited in Asville. Huh? We think we're so good. We think we're so together. We think we're so smart and so intelligent. And nobody can do it any better than I can do it. And so therefore, I have to do everything. Hallelujah. And then complain about it. Hallelujah. Of course, you don't complain about it, right? Hallelujah. When you have to do everything, you don't complain about it. Oh, yes, you do. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? About having to do everything. Isn't that right, honey? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So there's a thought, there's a concept, there's a precept. There's something that the devil is doing in this last hour, and he is maximizing his efforts. Hello? He is maximizing his efforts. You know, I think things that happen aren't happen chance. I really think that they are prophetic. I think they are something that, because I'm a child of God. Do you understand me? I'm not just a child of God. I am a child of God who believes in being a child of God. And I believe that God is over everything. Sometimes I don't act like it. You can ask my wife. I'm sure she will verify that. But the fact of the matter is, in my heart, I believe it. Huh? You know, I put my Bible in my suitcase one day, and I stuck it in my luggage. They check luggage, and they left it out in the water. They left it, my poor Bible. You know, it's coming apart, and now it's all watered down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, it's really... And the Lord really, really spoke to me about it. You know, He says, don't water down the Word.
Amen.
Huh? Do you hear me? Don't water down the Word. Oh, you're too critical. You're too judgmental. You're too harsh. You're too hard. You're too this. You're too that. You're too this, and that. Huh? Okay, you need a balance in all things. Please. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But I have a belief that there is a great tribulation coming on the earth, such as the world has never known. Where is your organizational system? How is it going to help you? Huh? In that place when there's no cell phone? No cell phone? Huh? No cell phone? No gas? No food? Huh? How are you going to communicate? Huh? How are you going to ask for help? Where are you going to get help? Well, if we haven't developed a position, a place of communicating with God and communicating with each other. You know, one of the most marvelous things about Sierra Leone this last visit was not the cell phone. It was the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. The last time I was in Nigeria, we're sitting there, minding our own business there, waiting for the brethren for the next morning, and the message comes from Europe, and a message simultaneously comes from the U.S. that alerts us to a devil's plan. Hello? To do something very bad to Brother Martin and I. Hallelujah. And you know what? When God said, you know, they brought the story of Paul being let down over the wall in a basket. Huh? Brother Dusil says, he who runs away will live to preach another day. Oh yes, and by the way, I'm going back to Nigeria. I'm going back to Nigeria the end of December. You can pray for me, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Lord made a way for us out of Nigeria like something I have never seen before. You know, you don't do anything in a hurry in Nigeria, you know. Nothing. Everything takes time and more time. And then more and more time. There was one man there, he said, if you want to keep Nigerian time, he says, just get rid of the big hand on your watch, you know. Just get rid of the big hand. Just leave the little one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God made a way for us like I have never, ever seen before. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. When we were at the airport in Port Harcourt, the plane that never comes. Anybody know about the plane that never comes? It's always coming, but it never comes. It's always on its way, but it never gets there. Well, that was our plane. Hallelujah. And then out of nowhere comes this man with a shirt on that says Bel Air, which happened to be an airline there out of Port Harcourt. And he comes up to us unsolicited. And says, do you want to get on this plane that is now leaving? Now, wait a minute, brethren. When a Nigerian asks you that in the airport, you want to stop and think about it a little bit. You don't want to just jump into it. You want to think about it. So we didn't more than think about it. We had our little cell phone, so we called Brother Hubert. And said, Brother Hubert, there's Mr. Bel Air here, and he wants to help us get on this other plane that they say is coming but has not yet showed up. And he's telling us that won't come. Never, ever, 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 ever come. Huh? Hallelujah. And I said, what shall we do? He said, brother, take it. No hesitation there. None. Take it. I said, praise the Lord. Let's go, brother. Let's get it. The man took us back, helped us get our luggage. He took us back behind the belt there that doesn't work, you know, by the deal. Back in there, and our luggage wasn't buried in the cart. It was right on top. We grabbed our luggage. He came back out. He helped us to get another ticket. We had to get some money changed, and he found the money changer, and the money changer wanted to cheat us, and he wouldn't let the money changer cheat us. And I'm looking at my colleague, and I'm saying, this is not a man. I said, he may look like a man, he may talk Nigerian, but this man is an angel. Huh? And then he takes us back through security. And he says, security, you're with me. Hallelujah. 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 And then he takes us out to the plane. Huh? And he says, this your luggage? I said, yes, this is our luggage. He says, get on the plane. And you know, I turned around to the man and I said, brother, I really don't want to offend you, but I really want to bless you. And I want to give you whatever I got in my pocket. He got mad. You hear me? He got mad. He got mad at me. He got angry with me. He says, I don't want your money. Then I knew he was an angel. And I just kind of thought, well, God, don't hold it against me, please. I knew that it was an angel. And brother turns to me and says, brother, these aren't boarding passes. I said, boarding passes or not, this is what we're given. Let's get on the plane. And if they say we can't get on, then we'll do something about a boarding pass. Well, they let us on the plane. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there's a position, there's a place of authority that we have in the Spirit on the basis of the Word that we have been given. It is to bring us into a position or a place of authority with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is a move in the Spirit to discredit, to discount, and to neutralize the relativeness of this Word concerning you and I coming into the fullness of God.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. And you know what? If the devil can't neutralize it in one way, he will try to organize it and kill it in another way. Hallelujah. And the Word to us is just as pertinent today as it was then, 40 some years ago. Come out of her, my people. What are we to come out of? We are to come out of who and what we are. You know, the church out there is not necessarily the enemy. It isn't. It's the thing within us that is the enemy. The nature of sin that has not yet been disposed of. The position, the place with all of his attributes and all of his excellence. You know, it's probably a lot easier for me than some of the rest of you because I'm really not a very intelligent person. Huh? I'm not. I'm not really a talented person. So maybe that makes it a little easier. I really don't think so, because I found out it doesn't make any difference how dumb you are, because you always think you're smart. And it doesn't make any difference how weak you are, because you always think you're strong enough to do it yourself. Hallelujah. Well, I'm learning out. I'm learning slowly but surely. God is driving the point home that within me dwelleth no good thing. Hello? No good thing dwells within the realm or the sphere of Asbel. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, I can emphasize with a brother as he gets up and he looks out into the country that we have grown up in and see the things that are happening and the degradation and the demoralization and the defilement of our consciousness. Huh? Do you know that almost 69% of the population have no qualms about being stripped naked? Do you know that? That's what they're saying. Huh? They don't mind. They'd rather be safe than dead. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, I'd rather be dead than submit to a plan and a device that God did not make. God don't need x-ray machines, brother. God's got Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's an x-ray machine that surpasses the thing that man made 100%. He knows what you're not only what you're thinking, he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. How's that for an x-ray machine? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There were nothing in that ark but a table of stone. Why? Just a table of stone. Because God said, I am going to write my laws upon their hearts. And there are going to be a people unto me, and I will be a God unto them. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, brother, when you hear these things on TV or in the radio, it shouldn't upset you. You should get excited. Yes. Praise the Lord. Because there is a verification of the word that you believe. Yes. There's an evidence that is coming forth out of the natural realm. Brother Wilkerson calls them secular prophets. They're prophesying the doom and the demise of humanity. There are two destinies that are appointed unto each and every one that comes into the world. It is the destiny of perdition, or is the destiny of life. And every man that comes into the world has an opportunity to reject one or the other. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, I like talking to these people in Europe of their experience with communism. And especially some of the older ones. They never expected what to happen could happen. They thought they were being liberated. They thought they were being set free. They thought that things were going to get better. Oh yes. That's what they thought. Hallelujah. They found out that things could be and did become much worse. Huh? Hallelujah. It says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's talking about the change that is coming. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, things can change so drastically for you and I. Huh? Hallelujah. Ask somebody who is now under some sort of severe circumstances. You know, the problem is we do not believe it's going to happen in the good old US of A. We don't believe it. We don't believe it's possible. Hallelujah. Because it has never happened. Well, 9/11 never happened either. Not since the Civil War anyway. Do you hear me? 9/11 has never happened. Hallelujah. There should be such an outrage and a cry of anger and anguish, more than anger, anguish over some of the things they're doing on the very site of destruction. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've been in the army. I have had friends who have been in the army. And they have been in some of these places. I had a friend, if he'd walk through one of these machines, he would go off like a sparkler. The man had so much shrapnel in his body. Huh? Do you hear me? He would set the machine off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have friends that have gone into different of these conflicts who did not come home. Huh? Hallelujah. They died for what they believe. You know, and there's something very precious about it, and to see all of this defilement going on, it's an anguish and a terrible thing in your soul to behold. But it's something that I know has to transpire for wickedness to come to a place of completeness, in order that the sons of God can come to a place of fullness.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's more to holding fast than just saying, quoting scriptures and saying things that pertain to what doctrine that you have. There's more to it than holding fast. It means to grab hold of something. It means that you have to hold on to something because somebody is going to be trying to take it away. That's what it means. That's why you have to hold fast. Hallelujah. You know, there's certain places in the world I go. Hallelujah. That if you have a wallet or whatever you have, you put it in a safe and secure spot. Huh? You want it to be safe. You want it to be secure. Because by cracking, if it's not safe and secure, you're going to get home and you're going to find it missing. Missing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, let us therefore hold fast. Holding fast means to grab onto with a tenaciousness. You know, sometimes we have to grab on to the hem of God's garment over some issue in our soul. Huh? It's an issue that rises up again and again and again. It seems to defeat us and to bring us into a place of disappointment or frustration, or bring us again and again into a place of defeat and failure. Hallelujah! And sometimes we have to just grab hold, tenaciously grab hold of God's garment and repeat the position of the phrase of the woman that says, I will not let go of the hem of your garment until you touch me. There's something of a tenacity. We want to know why God doesn't answer the prayers, or why God doesn't move in certain situations. We're not holding hard enough. We're not holding long enough. We're not fasting and praying enough to get through, to press through. You know, what you did yesterday isn't going to work today.
Right.
Do you hear me? Yes. Hallelujah. The stakes are raised. The escalation of trouble is gone up a notch. Every time the sons of God gathered themselves together, praise the Lord, it said that Satan was there in his midst. And when he was there in his midst, there was another notch of tribulation that God says, all right, go. Do what it is that you have to do. Hallelujah. But you know something about God? He never releases the devil unless he has already released the authority to give you the ability to resist the devil. Hallelujah. The Bible says that that we have not yet resisted unto what? Blood. But there is coming a time of bleeding. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. If he says you have not yet come, means the time of coming is yet to come. Hallelujah. And some of the church has already paid that price in an actuality of life and limb and being and homes. Huh? How is it that we think that because we live in the environment that we live, that we are blessed above all Christians, that we should not have to suffer in some manner or some form? You know, it's amazing to me. Brother Duciel was telling the church years ago to prepare for the end time. Storing food and all of the things that go into that arena. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm hearing it on the radio. I'm seeing it on the TV. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm not seeing it just one place. I'm seeing it over and over and over again. The world economists are prophesying doom for the financial economical systems of the world, not just America, of the world. Why? Because there's some master plan within their mind that is diabolical, because it comes out of the heart of Satan, if he has one. Huh? Hallelujah. To bring things into a position or a place of conformity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, it was very interesting. I sat down to watch Fox News. And this commentator had a rabbi on there. And they were talking about the power, the Tower of Babel. The Bible talks about the Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, what, in 9 verses, maybe 7 verses, 9 verses, and that's all it says. Well, the rabbi was talking to him out of the text of the Hebrew and what each of those words were meaning. And the thing that the Nimrod wanted to do was to build the tower out of bricks. And he says that God commanded that no altar should be built out of bricks. Altars should be built out of stone.
Yes,
and he said, the commentator, well, why is that? He says, because one brick is just like any other brick. And you can substitute a brick for another brick and never know that the brick was substituted. They're all uniform. They're all made the same dimensions. They all have the same color. They all have the same texture. They're all one in the same thing. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed how the fashions of the world want to make you look different? Huh? Hallelujah. One of my sons, when he was growing up, wanted to be different. He wore hair, baggy pants, and all of the things. Different. The only problem was, I could walk down the street or go by the school and see 100 of them. All of them different. All of them different. Huh? Like bricks. Huh? Oh yes. Oh yes. And then they come up with this idea of shoes. Pointed shoes. Not women. Men's. Pointed shoes. I was in an airport and I saw this man, feet first. Huh? Looked down at his shoes. Pointed shoes. They had the longest points of any shoe I have ever seen. And I'm sitting there and I'm scratching my head and I'm thinking, how in the world does he walk? Oh, but he's different. Oh yes. Then I look over here, long pointy shoes. And then I look over here, long pointy shoes. Huh? And you know something? You can't tell the women's shoes from the men's shoes if you just saw them from here down. Huh? Because none of them's wearing dresses. They're all wearing pants. And they got long pointy shoes. Huh? They're all different. Oh, some of them are black. Some of them are brown. Some of them are red. But they're all long and pointy. Huh? They're different. Now, why do you think the devil is doing what he's doing? So he can get us to march through machines. So he can get us to buy the same thing. So he can get us to be in the same place. So he can get us to have the demand for the same things. We're more global orientated than you think. Huh? Why am I telling you all of this? Because trouble is coming. Trouble is coming. God said you build your altars out of stone. Why? Because every stone is different. Some are little, some are big, some are wide, some are skinny. Some are tall. Some are long. Some are flat. Huh? Hallelujah. Everything's different. Some of them are very pretty and intricate, and they've got all kinds of interesting things worked within the family more plain. But nevertheless, individual and special and unique in the way that they were made or created. Hallelujah. God doesn't want me to be like you. That's one of the problems I have with what they call in the church discipleship. You know, the only thing that I am supposed to be discipled after is Jesus Christ. And it's not that a man cannot teach me how to be like Jesus Christ. But most of the people that are discipling people, disciple people after themselves. And so you have a little bunch of little people running around looking like the big people. They talk like them. They act like them. They move like them. They dress like them. They speak like them. They get mad like them. They get pouty like them. They get depressed like them. Oh, they're good disciples. You got clones. Hallelujah. You don't have an individual who has gone through the furnace. Hallelujah. You haven't had an individual who has been changed so intricately and intrinsically. Is that right? Am I right? I'm doing good today, Gary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Special and unique all in itself. And yet, in the midst of all of it, is Christ. You know why Christ needs so many of us? Because all of us, without all of us, He could not visibly express and manifest Himself in the natural arena. He's too great. He's too expansive. He's too awesome. Hallelujah. But when this Christ comes to this Christ, and this Christ comes to this Christ, and that Christ comes to this Christ, all of them make up the components of Christ, and they begin to flow together in harmony, and music that comes out of that harmony, hallelujah, brings forth a tune and brings in a manifestation of what the Bible calls glory. Because it's a representation of the actuality of who God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I never can think about God needing anything, but there was something that God needed in that He created man for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. And I think that reason and purpose is the only way that He could physically, in some manner or way, manifest Himself where the eye could see it in actuality. And it becomes a physical, eternal representation of Almighty God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Well, I'm praying for translation. Hallelujah. Not translating in words. Translation in physical being. I think we're coming to the point of it. Hallelujah. Maybe there's a little more suffering I need to do sitting on a plane for 30 some hours. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But I'm willing to do it until that time frame and the fullness of God. But we are supposed to know, and we are supposed to be hanging fast. You know, somebody need to come in and tell us that the doctrine that this man or that person or this woman or that is being purported here is wrong, because intuitively we should have an instinct in God. Amen. To know something is twisted, something is out of order, something is out of place, something is wrong. Hallelujah. And you need to go down to God about that wrongness. Did you hear me? Don't get up and shake your fist in the person's face. Huh? Hallelujah. Not yet anyway. Get into God. Get into that position of that hiding place. In the secret place. Huh? He that what? Abideth in the secret place of the Most High. Brethren, God is calling us into the secret place. God is calling us into that position, that place. We are coming into the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, that was His secret place, you know. Huh? At least for that hour. We are coming into that hour. We are coming into that time. It's all well and good to talk about all these things of sonship and the power and the authority and all of these attributes of glory and overcoming. Gethsemane is another story. Amen. No Gethsemane. No resurrection. And it's just as important for you and I to experience our position of resurrection as it was for Jesus Christ to experience His. Is that not the goal that we are pressing toward? Huh? In a moment. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. We what? Shall all be changed. What is it that we believe? Where is it that we are going? Is it some watered down version of sonship that denies the power thereof? having a form of godliness but denying the power of. You know what the power is, brother? It's the power to change you. It's the power to change me. It's the power to change things. It's the power to change those aspects and those conditions that are not conducive to the will of God. It's not for the purpose of getting a Cadillac. It's not for the purpose of getting a better car. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, I got quite a history of vehicles. Everything I buy falls apart.
Huh? These are like a prophetic part.
What's that? I got quite a history with cars. Everything I buy falls apart. I don't care how good it was. When I get it, it falls apart. Something stops working. Praise the Lord for a mechanic. I can keep him in work all the time. One time, my backyard looked more like a used junkyard than a backyard. I had a truck that didn't run. I had another truck that didn't run. I had a car sitting there that didn't work. And if that wasn't bad, I got a tractor behind my garage that has one flat tire and is leaning like this.
Don't forget the boat.
Huh? Oh no, I got rid of the boat. That was a swimming pool for guppies. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to buy me a nice car. Nice truck. I couldn't do it. Why? Not because I want to be humble or something. It is because it was not in the will of God. And I, you know something? I didn't ask Him why. Hello? I've got beyond that, praise the Lord, in some things. I didn't ask Him why. I just said, okay, God. Hallelujah. 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 Man, too bad I didn't have the faith to go out there and lay hands on one of them broken down, beat up beaters and pray that God would start it. Hallelujah. You know, we have to make a decision on the basis of what it is that we want in God, not on what we want in the world. Huh? You know, there are things in our lives that we have to turn over to God. One of those things that I learned in a very hard way was my children. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Nobody knows better for my children than Dad. And Dad, he's got the blood, he's got the Holy Ghost, and he's walking in some measure with God. So Dad has all the answers. Hello? I had to find out that that wasn't true. And even though I had the answers, I had to zip my mouth and let them loose.
Yes,
hello? Oh, yes. Somebody said they were calling me Mr. Loose, but boy, oh boy. I had to turn my children loose into the hands of God. You know, God once told me after a very agonizing time in prayer and seeking for Him, He said, if you do what I want you to do, then I will do for your children what you cannot do. Hello? And I said, yes, Lord. You have a deal. So I can always go back to God and say, Lord, you remember that little deal we have? You remember that little covenant relationship we have with regards to my children? I'm invoking it now on the behalf of this one, or this one, or this one, or this one. Hallelujah. Or this one, or that one. Or that one over there, and that one over there. And that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. There's a lot of kids, you know. My children just don't stop at my children. I got many grandchildren. And then I have some very good and close spiritual children. Hello? Some spiritual children. Do you hear me? And some of them don't even know that there was somebody who was praying for them like a father, would pray for their child. Hallelujah! But there is something about God and His ability to do what needs to be done. So it says, let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. So I have been thinking about this wavering, this vacillating. James says, let not a man, what does it say? Ask God anything. If he is a vacillating type of person. Isn't that right?
Double-minded.
Well, isn't that vacillating to, from, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I should, maybe I should, maybe I should. Right? Let that man ask nothing from God. Because he won't get it. Is that really what the Bible says? Is that really, really, really what God says? Huh? Is that really what he said?
Yes.
James, what is it? James? James 1? Alright, I want to read it. If we can find it. Are you sure it's James 1? A double-minded man. Where is it found? Huh? Oh, yes. Yes. James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Now, it's talking about wisdom, but I think you can apply it to anything.
Right.
If it's a principle, if it's a fact, if it's in the operation and the way that God operates concerning individuals and circumstances, then it has to be applied. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man. It's a man with two souls. Is unstable in all of his ways. Hallelujah. So the rule of thumb is, if you don't believe it, don't ask for it. If you don't have a relationship with God, and you're not willing to pay the price of what it is that is going to be required in the asking, don't ask him. Because if you ask, you're going to be tried in the fact of what you're asking for. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. 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 You know, it's like Job. Who held fast in a position of his integrity before God. In his condition, his wife said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? Hallelujah. But his integrity, or his position, in spite of all the other things, or the other theological concepts about Job, it says of Job that Job did not sin with his mouth. He did not bring reproach upon the name of God with regards to God and his position of godness. Hello? Hallelujah. So we are to hold fast without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Praise the Lord. Hebrews also says that he that cometh to God, what? Must believe that he is. You know, I have had people come to me, thank you so much. I had people come to me and say, God said such and such and so and so and so and so and said so. I said, okay, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you have the word of the Lord. And so they go into doing what it was that they said that God told them to do. And they're doing it. And all of a sudden, They begin to have some sort of difficulty. They have some sort of trial, some sort of tribulation. And I see them 6 months later, and they're not doing the thing that they told me that God told them to do. And I will ask them, I said, well, what happened? Well, it just didn't work out. I said, oh, it didn't work out. How could it not work out? If God said, and if God told you, how is it that it doesn't work out? Did God give you another word, or a word that changed the word that He gave you in the beginning? Huh? No, He didn't. Well, then there's something of a problem. There's something of a lack of relationship. And if he's thinking that God told him, then he needs to go back and check out God that told him. Huh? If God don't change His mind. And I found out something else. If God tells you about a situation or a set of circumstances that is contrary to righteousness, and I don't know if any of you have had that experience before, but I have been in that experience where God has said certain things about certain situations and circumstances. But sometimes time goes on, time goes by, and all of a sudden we're back around to that set of circumstances trying to implement it or make it work in our set of circumstances. And I will ask, where did God change His mind? Give me a word. Hello? Is it wrong for you or I to declare or want a word from God if circumstances have changed from what it was that God told us was wrong, or that there was something amiss or something needed to be fixed? Do you think that God is going to tell you that something needs to be fixed, and when it's fixed, not come and tell you that it's fixed? Hello? Huh? Hallelujah. We have a way of sweeping some of these things under the rug and forgetting about them and going on as though they were not important, but they are important. They are important, brethren. And we need to start listening, not just to each other, but to God. We need to start listening to God, because hearing God one day is going to save your life. When He tells you, turn left. Hello? And you don't turn left. And you walk out and a car hits you. Huh? Hallelujah. You're going to have to hear God in spite of your emotions. You're going to have to hear God in spite of your fears and your trepidations. Hello? Hallelujah. You're going to have to hear God in spite of your habitual patterns. Hello? Do you hear me?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we won't do things because of what they cost. And one day God is going to give you an opportunity to do something that's going to cost you something. And it's going to go against your habitual pattern of thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's put it in the monetary realm. Oh, we can't afford that. That's not something that I can do. That's not something that I can have. That's not something that's outside of my means. But if in the actuality it is something that God is speaking to you, you have to learn to hear God in the midst of your own soul that is broadcasting to you that you have to perform according to your habitual pattern and your way of training. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. 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 You know, when I have learned, sometimes out in the mission field, now, I'm not one who really likes to cut and run. I really am not. I'd like to stick around and give the devil a good whack. Hallelujah. But if in the midst of it, God says run, you run. Hello? You run. You don't sit around and reason, well, maybe we should do this and maybe we should do that. You run! Hallelujah. You run! Hallelujah. Because you want to live in God. Not that you want to live in the flesh or in the physical way. Hallelujah. You know, there was a funny thing about that situation in Africa 2 years ago. There was something very, very peculiar about it. There was no sense of fear. no sense of trepidation. And that's not like me. You understand? It's not like me. I should have been, oh my, what are we going to do now? Somebody's going to kill us. They're going to kidnap us. They're going to haul us out into the jungle. They're going to put blindfolds on our heads. They're going to throw us in the river with the crocodiles. And all of those things going. Should have been all of those thoughts going through my mind, because they have gone through my mind before. But there was this sense of expectation. There was this sense of waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. It was amazing. When Brother Martin and I were finally on the plane flying out of Lagos, I looked at him and smiled, and he smiled at me, and I said, boy, this was exciting, wasn't it? He said, oh, yes. I said, when do we do it again? Of course, that's easy to say when your plane is taking off, right? I remember one time sitting in the Lagos, on the tarmac in the Lagos airport, we had got on the plane, and the brother I was with said, oh boy, am I glad to be on this plane. And I looked at him, and I don't know why I said it. I said, brother, we're not in the air yet. And he just looked at me. And I suppose, you know, if his eyes would have been knives, I would have been dead. He said, why did you say that? Huh? Well, 12 hours later, we were still sitting on that plane, on that tarmac, and we had tried 3 times to take off. 24 hours later, back on the plane, and that time we got off the ground. Huh? Hallelujah! Huh? We have to be able to hear God in the midst of our circumstance. Not in the midst of our habitual training. Not in the midst of our familiarities. That's why the Lord has to eradicate certain aspects of Asbel. Certain aspects of Asbel in America. America has no position or place in the kingdom of God. Not if I want to be a son. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a son that is an Asbel. I want to be a son that is Christ. That has the nature of Christ. So instilled, so ingrained, so in position of predominance. And in a place of preeminence, that it is all and in all and every all. Hallelujah. And it's so hard for us to turn loose of it. It's an impossibility. But you have the ability in the blood and by the Spirit of God to eradicate that aspect of your humanity. You have it. Hallelujah. And God is speaking to us as a people that we are to come out of our individual positions and characteristics as well as our ethnic backgrounds. We're to come out of them. Hallelujah. It has been buried with Christ in the act of baptism. Now is the time to manifest the reality of it. Now is the time to manifest the reality of it. Now. Right now, brethren. Hallelujah. Not when it gets so bad and so terrible that all you can do out there is plead and cry for God to intervene in your situation. When all the time God had been preparing you for that moment, for that time, when you could rise up into the authority of God and command the spirits of darkness to be bound. That's what sons of God are called to do. Bind spirits. We're no longer fighting little demons. We're no longer fighting little petty devils. We are being, the princes are being loosed in their position of authority of wickedness to come against the church of God. You know something that is very interesting. I was reading an article and having it read to me of a message that Brother Ducille brought several years ago, and it's called The Sin of Achan. And do you know that all of Israel suffered for the sake of Achan and what he did? Huh? Hallelujah. We need to begin to rise up in the Spirit. Rise up in the Spirit of God. Rise up in the Spirit of sonship. Rise up into the Spirit of which God has ordained us to rise up. Rise up in the strength and the power of the Word that has been committed unto us. Because there has been a Word that has been committed unto us. And it is our responsibility to bring forth and to manifest the fullness of it. Do you hear me? It is our responsibility. It's yours. It's mine. In our peculiar, particular situation, to manifest the reality of this Word. This Word of sonship. Hallelujah. You know, we buried a man, but we did not bury the Word. Huh? Did you hear me? Huh? We buried a man. Hallelujah. But we did not bury the Word or the life that brought the Word to us. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's just as real and living today as it was the day that He stood on this platform and ministered it unto you as a people. If not more so, because we're living in the time frame when it's going to appear and become a reality, walking and talking within the realm of humanity.
Amen.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.